Okay, you are children. Are you good or bad? They said, we are good. Do you think good children move around with pins like this? They said, no, they don't. So what I'd like you to do, now there's no need to scold them and shout them about the balloons that are gone. You said, what I'd like you to do, put the pins away because I also think you are very good children. What example are you going to set for others? Come on, you are the best of children. Put those pins away. Come on. And they put the pins away and they carried on. Now, there might even be a better way of doing it than the way I did it. But each one has his own method in his own home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not make it a method that is unacceptable. Sometimes we call the child and one clap and the face goes red. And in fact, it swells similar to the balloon you were talking about. So this is something we must understand. Talking, wallahi, it's something very great. Choosing your words, how you want to say what you want to say. Thinking very carefully about the words you want to use. You know, I give you an example, and I'm sure I've given this example in so many lectures, where you disagree with someone. You know, if you go to buy a BMW, you want a black BM. Because why? Black is executive. And the showroom doesn't have any vehicle to give you besides a white one. Wallahi, the non-Muslims, within a space of a few minutes, they will convince you to buy the white one. And you will look forward to the trip. How? Let me tell you. You tell them, sir, I'd like a black vehicle. Yes, sir. Black is the best color. Now, he knows from the very beginning he doesn't have it. But look at how they speak, because they are trying to sell you a BMW. I'm talking of kuffar. Go and try it. Sir, black is the best color. I agree with you. In fact, it looks so smart, it's executive. I can imagine how wonderful you would look in that vehicle, sir. You see, that's just the introduction. Telling you to go to hell in such a way that you're looking forward to the trip. Then they say, sir, in fact, you know, your garden must be so green. And you know the contrast, black and green. Ooh, I can't even imagine. It will be beyond anything. It will be so gorgeous or what have you. They'll use so beautiful. And you're busy saying, yes, black, yeah, that's my color. But sir, you know what? There's one slight problem that I'd like you to think about. I'd like you to consider. Subhanallah. This is now the point he's getting to. You see, sir, if you have a black vehicle, a little scratch on a black vehicle will appear from a distance. People will say, the man's car is scratched. But if you've got a white vehicle, even if it's scratched a little bit more, not really will people notice it in a rush. So I agree with you. Black is the best. But just consider the fact. Imagine if you buy a brand new car today and I give it to you and I sell you the black one. I wouldn't like someone to look at a scratched car on the first day. And you know, these days, there are street kids and they're looking for these cars. And they're actually scratching them, you know. So it'll become ugly. You say, now you scratch your head. You say, but yeah, you're right. You're right. He says, but the black one's nice as well. But you see, if you're ready to take a scratch from this side to that side, you know, you can go for it. You say, no, I think I'll go for the white one. Subhanallah. It took him 5 minutes to convince you. Why? He wants to sell you a BMW. So he spoke nicely. You want to buy Jannah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you don't want to speak nicely. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Huh? You want a commodity. Ala inna sil'atallahi ghaliya. I spoke about it. And I said, definitely the commodity Allah is selling us is expensive. It's not cheap. You need to pay for it. You need to do the deal here. Come on. Imagine for dunya, we can understand how people use the best of words in order to sell something. And I'm sure we do it in our shops. We know that, for example, Sunsilk shampoo might be a little bit worse than the organics one, or so on and so forth. But if we've got one in our shop, we'll make sure we say, no, that one's, it's got a little bit too many chemicals. You know, it might damage your hair. We prefer this one here. Buy, there's nothing like that. You just want to sell your commodity. Bas. So the idea here is you are also trying to do a deal with Allah. When you go home, think carefully. Something went wrong in the house. How do you react? What do you say? How do you talk? Think about it. Use the best words in order to portray it. Not just because you want to put yourself as a professional. No ways. Because you want to adopt the sunnah tariqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His entire sunnah must come into our lives. Even the smallest. Okay, I've said a lot about how he spoke. I could still go further and further. If a point or two comes to my mind, I might even go back to the speech of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But let me move further. What about walking? What about walking? How did he walk? Let me tell you something. Did you ever hear that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked aimlessly in the streets? Without any purpose, no reason. Did you ever hear that? Never! Wherever he went, there was a specific point A, a specific point B, and he planned his route. He knew where he went, and he would remain focused. He would get there upon the appointed time. A true believer meets his or her appointments. And why do I say there was a point A and a point B? Because he did not walk out aimlessly. Even initially in Makkah, when he went out to the streets, he knew, I am going out to deliver the message. Ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. O people, utter la ilaha illallah and you will succeed. He used to look down and he used to utter it. Women used to make tawaf of the Kaaba whilst they were naked or semi-nude or even nude. He did not look in that direction. He remained focused. He looked down, but his message went across. His message went across. He fulfilled his duty. Ya ayyuhar rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbika wa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalatan. O messenger of Allah, convey the message. Convey that which has been revealed to you. He conveyed it in the best way, the most beautiful way. So I was saying there is a point A and a point B. You know, on the day of Eid, we know of the Sunnah, where they say, when you go, go with one route. When you come back, try and use a different route. Why? It was done by the Prophet ﷺ. That means he planned his routes. Those who didn't plan, would anyone be able to tell you that he always used a different route coming back? They wouldn't be able to say that. But because it was planned that way, we only adopt the Sunnah on the day of Eid. Why don't we plan every day our route? And if you sit for 2 minutes, wallahi, I tell you, it is more economic. Let me tell you. You got your vehicle, you are going to town. Peak hour, now you got to sit. Now I use this road, I'm going to be stuck. Sunnah, great act of worship, to sit and think before you go somewhere, to plan and to sit and calculate, how am I going to arrive there? Sunnah, did you know? It's an act of worship. Revive it, come on. And now when you do it knowing that I'm engaging in an act of worship taught to me by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So now you are sitting at home, you want to go to that place, say no, I won't go now because it's peak, I'm not in a rush. I'll go straight after the traffic calms down or something like that. Or I need to get there at a certain time, so let me go through the small route on the side. There's a bottleneck, so I'll just go around it and I'll do this, do that. Or that portion, I will definitely be caught in traffic, so let me allow 15 minutes extra because of that. What a great act of worship. What a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Do we realize that that is in actual fact a great act of worship, or do we just do it and at times we don't do it? How professional will we become? Today we look at the non-Muslims and we think, oh, these people are organized. What are you talking about? Organization was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are supposed to be the most organized ummah. The fact is, we ran away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what happened? We became very backward people who are looked at as people who have no track of time, nothing. You know, when Muslims tell you, I come at 9 o'clock, don't worry, by 9:30 they'll barely arrive. Allahu Akbar, may Allah save us. We have made a name for ourselves. The doctor tells you 9 o'clock, you are the one rushing 9:05, you say, you know what, hey, I'm sorry, I'm a bit late. And every time, the doctor knows, he said 9, but he knows that he's allowed, that by 9:05, this guy may be in. Why don't we be like those at the beginning of Islam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was there? Do you think they were ever late for something? Let's be honest. Do you think a perfect example can be late? Never. I don't know of a sunnah, or I don't know of a hadith where it is reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam missed his appointments. Subhanallah. There are verses in the Quran which say that those who believe must always meet their appointments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant that to us. Now, why do we say that when you leave your home, there must be a point A and a point B, and you must be focused? I tell you why. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk, it is reported that he used to look down. كان نظره إلى الأرض أطول من نظره إلى السماء. His gaze towards the ground was far longer and more than his gaze towards the sky, meaning up, because he would be focused. Mostly because he was a Nabi, he would be greeted by people whom he would pass, and he would greet back. But he would not lose focus. When you meet someone on the street, for example, You greet or they greet. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ يَبْدَى بِالسَّلَامِ. The best from amongst you is the one who starts with salam. Don't wait to say, hey, this person didn't greet. That person didn't greet. Hey, this person, there must be something. They passed me, they didn't flash their lights. Oh, you know what happens sometimes? You drive your car, your wife drives your car. So now you fight with your friend. Why didn't you flash your lights? So the next time he flashes the lights, your wife was driving the car. Then the story gets to you. That man is chuffing up your wife. Allahu Akbar. That's shaitan. So shaitan neither wants us to do it, nor does he want us to abstain from it. He wants us to remain hanging in the middle. That is why sometimes when someone doesn't greet you, don't jump to a conclusion to say this man did not greet because he has a problem with me. Maybe he just didn't see you. Or maybe he saw you, but by the time he realized who was in the vehicle, he couldn't flash your hood. I've actually developed a policy now. When the person passes, as they pass, I confirm who it is and I just hit my hooter. But I've already passed them. But they know I have acknowledged them. Because it's causing problems. In the ummah, you greet problem. You don't greet problem. So what do you do? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. The message is don't jump to conclusions. And many petty issues of politics in the Muslim ummah today are because of misunderstandings. In reality, created by ourselves. A few minutes ago, I was speaking at another masjid after Salatul Maghrib and I uttered a few words. I said, the size of any problem depends on your brain and your mind and your heart. Sorry, there's two things, your brain and your heart. The size of any problem depends on your brain or your mind and your heart. Two things. How do we know that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in one dua, وَمِنَ الْيَقِينِ مَا تُهَوِّنُ بِهِ عَلَيْنَا مَصَائِبَ الدُّنْيَا. Oh Allah, grant us enough yaqeen so that the problems of this dunya, no matter how big they are, can become easy and small. How do they become small? With yaqeen. What is yaqeen? Conviction. Where is conviction? In the heart and in the mind. Subhanallah. So if your heart and mind wants to make a small problem big, you will succeed in making it big. And if your heart and mind wants to make a big problem small, you will succeed. Most problems in the family, husband and wife problems, they are because of heart and mind, not because of the size of the problem. Or not because of the problem itself. You know, suddenly the SMS rings at 3 in the morning. And now there is a big argument in the house. Who's that? What's happening? Who's SMSing you at this time of the morning? So, who made the problem big? Your mind and your heart. You were waiting for that opportunity to scream. Yes. But if you kept quiet and went off to sleep and just trusted your partner, alhamdulillah, that problem would be solved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us happiness in our homes. So when you lose focus, what happens when you are walking? Now a person loses focus. What does that mean? If your gaze is higher like this, you're driving, you see, oh, there's a woman there. I'm using a typical example. There's a beautiful woman there. She turned there. Let me turn. Your indicator goes there. Where are you going? But you are going straight. Why are you turning? What happened? Na'udhu billah, we're running behind something we are not supposed to be running behind. Fact of life. A businessman who's walking from one shop to another, he knows I got an appointment at 9 o'clock. And now suddenly, as he's walking, he's looking at the windows and he sees, hey, this thing is cheaper than what I sell it for, man. So he walks into the shop, he forgot about that appointment. So he starts checking the prices because he wants to now compare his and this one. That thing, you can make a mental note that you saw this on the road. Go and meet your appointment, then come back here, if you really so wish. But you don't lose focus to the degree that now you are oppressing yourselves. Lack of professionality. The Muslims are known as not professional in their approach. Why? Because we've lost the sunnah. We don't meet our own timetables on time. Our own appointments on time. Nothing. We don't even have a sense. We don't even regard it as an act of worship. Subhanallah, me and you as a Muslim, if we meet 9 o'clock, we are there at 5 to 9. Not only will we be regarded as a good person, but we will get free rewards by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having revived a very big sunnah of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So look at how great it is. We're talking here about walking. And not losing focus. So whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was greeted, he greeted back. How did he greet back? I want to spend a minute on that. He shook. And he didn't shake like this. Like a woman. Never. He shook with a firm handshake. He looked in the eyes and he smiled. He would not look at anyone in the eyes in a threatening manner. You know, today, when you are talking to someone, yes, if it is your father or someone, you have a first glance at them to acknowledge that I am listening to you. Then you can look down. Out of respect. But generally when you are talking to someone like I'm talking to you, you are talking to me, look at me in the eyes and I will look at you in the eyes. That is a sign of concentration and also respect to a great degree. I told you that yes, when you are, it's your ustad or your parents, it's something else. But imagine today we greet people. You know how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to greet? Look at him in the eye, smile, and even ask him a few polite nothings. What are polite nothings? How are you? How's the family? Okay? You only meant to break the ice. That's it. You didn't mean anything else. That is a big sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Smile at the man. Assalamu alaikum. You tell him, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Kayf al-hal? How are you doing? He'll just say alhamdulillah or whatever he says. But at least you added something. You looked at him. There is a barrier broken here. What a great act of worship. Today we greet. Someone says, salamu alaikum. You don't even want to reply with your mouth. You ignore him. In fact, what we do, and I'm going to say this today, let's see whom it hurts. We see someone say, hey, don't look there, don't look there. I don't want to greet him. Don't look there. I don't want him to notice that I noticed him. That's what we're doing today. Wallahi, it's a fact. We run away from our Muslim brothers. Why? It's a fact. Because of a small point of politics that we've got between us. Minor issue. Shaitan came and invested in his own issues. And we are now literally turning around this capital that Shaitan has put. Why? Look at him. Why? I've got a problem with you, but I'll still greet you. Salaamu alaikum. How are you? How's the family? You alright? Make dua for us. Halas. Carry on. You broke so much ice. They'll say, hey, but this guy here is greeting, but you know, I got the problem with him. Subhanallah. Isn't that the beginning of the solution to the problem? By greeting. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Afshu salama wa at'imu ta'ama wa silu al-arhama wa sallu bil layli wa nasu niyam, tadkhulu jannata rabbikum bisalam. Bi-idhnillah. If you want to enter Jannah in peace, you got to start off by spreading peace on earth. How? Assalamu alaikum. Greet the people. Greet everyone. Tusallim ala kulli man arafta wa man lam ta'rif. Greet everyone you know and those whom you don't know. Today, even those we know, we don't want to greet them. Amazing. So I just deviated a little bit to tell you how to greet. It must be a good handshake. Not why. Some people think, oh no, you know, he's a big hazrat, so now you must greet softly because you might damage his hands. No. A soft handshake is a sign, according to the psychologists, of a complex mind. Why did I say psychologists? It's not dini. It goes back to psychology. A firm handshake, the psychologists say that it's a sign of genuinity. A person is genuine. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Al-mu'minul qawiyyu khayrun wa ahabba ila Allahi min al-mu'minil dha'if wa fi kullin khayr." One mu'min who is stronger, his posture, even stronger in his own Islam and Iman, but even physically stronger, is more loved by Allah than one who is weak. Half the time it's in your mind. You know, if you are sick and I'm sick, and you carry on and you walk like this, you'll be more sick. But you say, no, I'm alright, I'm fine. Even if you are sick, you say, I'm fine, there's nothing wrong, alhamdulillah. Inshallah, Allah will make you feel better. It's in the mind. It's like the example of those who claim to have stomach aches and they were given Smarties and said, you know what, this is a tablet. They're a very strong tablet from Russia. They had it 5 minutes later. What's happened? Now it's better. Subhanallah, he ate a Smartie. That shows you that it's in the mind. It is in the mind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Let us become stronger people. And remember what I am uttering today. I am not just saying it to say, oh, that was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was him. I must bring his life into my life and try and now adopt it and become as professional as possible, as brilliant as possible, and a shining example. Aren't you seeing what a shining example he has set for us? Right. When he walked, how did he walk? The speed. When he walked, neither did he walk too fast, nor did he walk too slow. وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. The true worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they walk on earth, they walk with dignity. They walk neither too fast nor too slow, nor banging their feet nor tiptoeing, exactly moderate. خير الأمور أواسطها أو أوسطها. The best of affairs is the middle path. Today we drive our cars. If you drive at 40, someone's going to hit you from the back. If you drive at 240, you hit someone from your front. Subhanallah. It's a fact. So keep to the speed limit. Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone might say, but there were no cars at the time. Don't be foolish. The reality is, don't race and don't be too slow. You know, I was telling the school teachers in Durban a few weeks ago, saying, imagine what example do we set? When a school teacher arrives at school on two wheels, yet he's got a four-wheeled vehicle, straight round the bend, what example are you setting? How do you think your school children, they say, hey, that's a dude and a half, isn't it? Subhanallah. That's not what we want. We need to set a good example. You drove, you indicated everything. You were the perfect example. Subhanallah. Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, you are the ambassador of Islam. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Allah says that I am putting a viceroy onto earth. We are no joke on earth here. We are not here to just enjoy ourselves as and when and how we like. No, there is a purpose, there is an aim, and Allah says, wait, I don't want you to be downtrodden. You will be regarded as the highest, but I want you to live Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want you to live him, meaning live his example, totally. Have you ever heard that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell because he didn't see what was on the road? Tell me. Never. Because he knew he would watch, be focused. Today we're driving, we're looking there, we're looking here. My man, be focused. Look where there is a speed hump, there is a pothole, there is a vehicle in front of you. Someone is crossing. Now they want to teach us defensive driving. There is a course. If you are a proper Muslim, you are already more defensive than the defensive driver. Because you are watching, you are alert. That's the crux of it. So, on the other hand, have you ever heard that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking so slowly that people thought he was loitering on the streets? Never. Na'udhu billah. Hasha. It is impossible for that to happen. When he walked with dignity, respect, neither too fast nor too slow, nor banging his feet, nor tiptoeing. Amazing. What a sunnah. That does not only apply to walking. He rode his camels in a similar manner. He rode the horses in a similar manner. Today we are riding vehicles. Let it be in a similar manner. Make sure your car is intact. You know, I was studying a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says, if whoever has a horse must look after the horse. So there are two reasons. One is, it has life. That's the first reason. But the second reason is that it takes you from point A to point B. It will take you for salah. It will take you from here to there. It will take you for all your chores. And you are fulfilling so many acts of worship through that mode of transport of yours. So isn't that reason also there when it comes to motor cars? So to look after your vehicle would actually be an act of worship from that point. I hope we understood what I've said. A vehicle doesn't have life. But it brings you for salah. So make sure the tire pressure is right. If you're a guy who's not even worried, you can see the nail is in the tire and you can hear it going shh, and you say, no, never mind, we'll see. If my taqdeer is written for Fajr, I'll be there. If not, I won't. You are foolish. Look after your car. Avoid the potholes so that that car can serve you to take you to salah, to take you to the path of Allah, to take you here, to take you there, to take you... That's it. So it's an act of worship, in essence. But why don't we look at it in that way? Now tomorrow morning we'll see everyone washing their cars and say, no, we were told it's an act of worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and the true understanding. Some might like to do it as a hobby. So this is what is meant when we speak of the broader sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything you ever do, wallahi I tell you, you can either do it the right way or the wrong way. Think about it. Today we are walking in the rain. How do we want to walk? How do we want to hold ourselves? What type of people do we want to talk to? Ask yourself, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was here, would he associate with this person, that person? Would he deal in this manner, that manner? If he wouldn't, then you must know you are not on the sunnah.